The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John, and we are commenting on chapter 8. We have the story of the adulterous woman who were caught in adultery, and we could see how Christ saved her because he defended her, and he made it very clear before the eyes of everyone that you shouldn't judge each other because all of you are sinners, and I am the real judge, but I came not to judge people, I came to save people. So it's not the time of judgment, it's the time of salvation. And also he advised the woman not to do it again, not to sin again after such a great salvation happened. She should care for her future life. Then he started to speak about himself being the light of the world, the true light of true light, and he witnessed to himself, so they did not accept his witness to himself. So he told them, I'm witnessing to myself because I know from where I came and where I'm going to, but and also the Father is witnessing to me, so just accept it like the witness of two men, the Father and the Son. Then they said to him, 8:19, they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. So they thought of a father in flesh. So they believed that he's speaking about maybe Joseph the carpenter or the father, the human father. So he's saying, no, you do not know my father because you do not know even myself. You couldn't see the divine nature in myself. How can you see the divine nature of God, the Father himself? You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father. So we cannot know God the Father without knowing God the Son, because the Son revealed the secret of the Holy Trinity. God the Son came so we can see God, we can touch him, we can talk to him, we can hear him. He became one of us in order to know God. So there is no way to know God the Father who is unseen, because he did not incarnate. But Christ came to be one of us in order to help us to know God. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. So because of this tough dialogue between the Jews and the Lord, and it happened many times before, especially in chapter 5 after the miracle of the crippled one who were like 38 years crippled. So it was always repeated many times that they wanted to stone him and to say that he is considering himself God, which is like a blasphemy, and he should die, but it was not his hour. It was not his plan. His hour did not yet come. So it all works towards the hour of crucifixion. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So he's speaking now about the ascension of himself. When he finished the story of redemption by accepting to die on the cross and rose from and rising up from the dead, then he will ascend to heaven, and there is no chance to see him again. And if they kept themselves in this stony heart, in this rejection to the truth, they will stay in sinful life, they will stay in darkness forever. That's why he's saying, I'm going away, you will seek me, and will die on your sin. The sin here means the refusal of the truth that Christ is God. Where I go, you cannot come. So he's going to heaven, and they cannot go after him to heaven because they they stayed in their darkness. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Remember the words given by Isaiah that the Jewish people, you know, when they listen as if they never listened, when they see things as if they never saw things, they do not understand by their heart because their heart is very hard. And they wanted to reject, to refuse the truth. That's why even by seeing miracles or hearing the truth given by God, they kept their attitude of rejection, the truth. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? So they sort of like, if he kills himself, we will not follow him. So they took it this way, but actually they spoke partially the truth because he was ready to die. He planned for his death in order to rescue all human beings. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. And remember, these words were given earlier by St. John the Baptist. In chapter 3, when they came asking him, why you are baptizing people if you are not the Messiah? So he said it this way, I am from down, from earth. But he is from heaven, from above. And he is above everyone. And we should worship him. Because we humans are all from this earth. So Christ said, you are from beneath, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am he, which means I am God, you will die in your sin. So there is no other way to go to heaven but believing in Christ as God, as the only way to heaven. So we will stay as just human beings, corrupted beings, ready to die any time. We will stay in this soil, in this land, because we are, you know, sinning and doing sins, meaning that we will stay in darkness forever. There is only one way to get out of this. When we believe in Christ and we follow him. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. So they repeated the question, who are you? He made it clear many times that he is God. He is the one who spoke to Moses. He is the one, you know, should be worshipped by people because he had the testimony of God the Father, the Son, the prophets, John the Baptist, the Old Testament, the miracles also witnessed to him. So he had all these witnesses saying that he is God. I am Jehovah. So they started to ask again, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. So he kept speaking about God the Father because he wanted to make it very easy for them that whatever God the Father will, it's exactly the will of the Son. And the Son is not doing anything by himself separated from God the Father. The divine nature is one. The will is one. God the Father is in God the Son and the Son is in the Father. All whatever related to God the Father is related to God the Son. So the full unity between God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are, you know, that's beyond imagination. Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. So whatever Jesus is saying is like the teaching of heaven, teaching of God. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. When he's repeating, I am He, meaning that I am the one of the Old Testament, God of the prophets, God of Moses, the one revealed himself to Moses when he asked him, what's your name? He said it this way, I am, that I am. So Christ is saying, I am He. So when you lift up Jesus Christ on the cross, you will know that I am He. Again, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ added to the witness to His divine nature, because upon the cross, He could forgive the sins of those who are crucifying Him. And also, the earthquakes happened and the revolution of the nature happened during the hours of the cross showed that this is not just a man. And also the witness of the soldier who said that was the Son of God. So they started to understand the secret that He lifted up on the cross in order to save people. And with the power of resurrection, when He came out of death, that proved so much that He is the real God. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Although, you know, most of the rulers of the temple and the Pharisees, they rejected Him. But the simple people, they could see the truth that He is God, He is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of the Father. And He is saying the truth, and He is going to save everyone. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him. So He started to speak to the believers who accepted the truth. If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's like another step. It's another level. Now you accepted what I said, that I am God incarnated. I am the Son of God. I came to save you. So they were happy listening to this because they had seen many miracles, and He proved to be the real Son of God. But He added another a revelation, that you need to abide in My word. Because, you know, it's easy to start believing and then going backwards, and you may again believe in devilish things. So you have to abide in My word. You are My disciples indeed. So being a disciple, meaning that you have to abide yourself to the word of God. Not just by listening. You have to keep the word of God in your heart. You have to follow Him. You have to teach the same teaching. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Actually, by saying the truth will make you free, the Jew people do not like to be slaves, or they will not like anyone reminding them that they were slaves anytime. Although you all know in the history that the Jew people were slaves in Egypt for like 400 years, and they were slaves under the government of the Babylon and the other emperors or rulers of this world for many hundred years before the coming of the Lord. But still they do not want to remember this. They always feel like we are free. At that minute they were not free because the Roman Empire was above them. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. That's a real lie, because they were in bondage many times. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. You know, the major obstacle in the way of faith, in the way of believing God, in the pride, when you are proud of yourself, when you see yourself like over others, people superior to others, they were like Abraham descendants, you can never know the truth. You can never follow Christ. You need to be humble in your heart in order to accept the revelation. So although they were happy listening to what he said concerning his relationship with the Father, when it comes to Christ freeing them, they were not happy with the word of freeing them. They said, we were never in bondage. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So Christ focusing now on the idea of slaving not necessarily to people. The more important kind of bondage is to be a slave to the sin, because the sin is inside your heart. The control from the inside is much harder than the control from the outside. You can free yourself from the authority of others, but how can you free yourself from the authority of your desires, of your bad, wicked things? So you need this freedom. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So you will be freed not to stay as a slave, but to be like children of God. Being a slave, you will never stay in the house forever, because it's not your house. You are just a slave. But if you are the son in this house, the house is yours. So the inheritance of heaven is so much related to be the son of God, the children of God. But if you stay like a slave of sin, you are away from heaven, from the house of God. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So you need the grace of God. Now, Christ speaking about the grace, the power of Christ himself to free everyone. So we need to pray for this. Please help me to get out of this bondage. Free me. Because I cannot overcome my sin by myself. I need your power. So he's pushing them to start praying, asking for the grace of God. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. So although they were saying, we are Abraham's descendants, but Abraham loved Christ. Abraham was very humble. He never think of killing any prophet or any man, but they were about to kill the Messiah himself, the Son of God incarnated. So he is telling them, you are not the real children of Abraham. Abraham's children should walk the way of Abraham, should love God like Abraham, should have the same faith like Abraham. Glory to God. Amen.